Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Ricky and Pam join me today, and we talk about, well, getting to your Disney destination, packing, taking your flight. What do you take on the plane? What do you do at the airport before your flight? How do you maximize getting through TSA without getting flagged because, well, you have just a crazy amount of wires in your bag because you're that dad that has all the chargers and cables and all that stuff. How about when you get to MCO? Do you rent a car? Do you use a ride share? Do you use something like Mears Connect? We talk about all of the mechanics of getting to your Disney destination and making it stress-free or as much as possible on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast, always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We're standing by to help you plan a great Disney vacation for no additional cost to you. So check out all the details today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click supports everything we do throughout the year. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon all-stars. You guys make this show and every show possible. So again, thank you so much. And if you'd like to support us, we'd love to have you. Just $5 a month. And you'll get a bonus podcast every week called Mike in the Midwest. Coming over today. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2457 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're ready for a great weekend here in March and that the weather has churned nice for you this first full weekend of spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. And just that you're doing well and that you're being restful and that you're getting to spend some time with friends and family. And baseball is almost here. I'm excited for that. Of course, this weekend, lots of college basketball. I know you're glued to your brackets. Hopefully they're not busted already. We've already had, you know, a couple of days worth of games. And this weekend will be packed with that. So may your team have a long run in the tournament. My Missouri Tigers didn't even get a sniff of the tournament this year because they could not win one game in the SEC. So kind of not stressful for me. But shout out to Paige's team, the UIC Flames. They're in the WNIT, so hopefully they have a nice run this spring in their tournament. So proud of my daughter's team up in Chicago. So go Flames. All right, so joining us today, we're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about getting there. Getting there is half the fun on your Disney vacation, right? That's what we're going to talk about today. Joining me from themouseforless.com and DisneyWorldAfterAll.com on this lovely Friday, we have Ricky. Ricky, what's going on? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Ready for a great spring weekend. We actually started doing some work outside this past weekend to get ready for the spring weather. So here's the tip. Brian came up with this, and I'm really impressed by it. So we have patio furniture out on our deck, and you know, the couch cushions may not have gone in the house over the winter, so they got a little filthy. So it was his genius idea to take it to the manual car wash, and we washed them there, and let me tell you, they're like new again. So there's your genius tip for the day. If you have very, very filthy outdoor couch cushions, outdoor car wash would be a really good idea.
So it is a good tip. Ours have sat on top of my riding lawnmower all winter in the garage. But yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, we've been through a lot. Obviously having an infant, you don't typically think about bringing the couch cushions inside. So yeah, that was not our best moment. But, and we do have a power washer, which we could have just used that. Yes. But unfortunately, it's broken.
Those are fun.
As always happens when you buy a power washer, it breaks immediately. So yeah, that's fun. But yeah, outdoor car wash, the best $10 I've ever spent.
I gotta say, you know you're an adult when your power, because we have a power washer as well. Like when that becomes one of your most fun toys in the house, like that's when you know you're an adult. Because you gotta be careful with your toes though, man. I seriously, years ago, thought I chopped off my big toe with that thing when I had it on the tightest little bead.
Oh yeah.
Dude, I hit my big toe and I was scared to look down because I thought it was gonna be disconnected from the rest of my body. I seriously thought I chopped the sucker right off because it hurt so bad. I was like, I know I just chopped my toe off because I was jerking around with that thing, messing with Mallory. And zoop right over my toe. I was like, I just chopped my toe off with the power washer. I did something. And I'm going to have to, and like, my first reaction wasn't that I'm going to have to go the rest of my life without a big toe. And like, it's going to really stink for running. Like, as much as I probably just ended my career and I'm probably going to fall for the rest of my life, like all the time, because I'm not going to have balance. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm thinking about, how am I going to go on social media and explain that I just chopped my big toe off with a power washer? Like, what kind of an idiot am I?
Hey,
like,
happens.
I'm going to be like the lead story on Fox 2 News tonight. Like, Cottleville man messing around with his 15-year-old daughter in the front yard on a first nice spring day of the spring, chops his big toe off with power washer. Idiot.
It happens.
I mean, I probably would have died of blood loss too. I don't know. It was a harrowing like 2 minutes before I looked down to see, oh, whew, God loves me. My toe's still attached to my body. All is good. Anyway, Pam Forrester, that was my little antidote for the day. Spring story. What's going on? Coder, the magic for less travel.
Did you want that story? That's the question.
Hope you do.
Yes, I want that visual. I want that visual.
That's good.
So I have one as well, since we were actually in our shed, cleaning out our shed, you know, for the spring, like getting stuff ready and whatnot. Now, I just want you to know that at one point during the clean out, we both looked at each other and we said, the shed is too small, which, by the way, we have a 3-car garage. We have a full basement. We have a shed, and it's not just a small shed. We had it built. Some Amish person, you know, built it. We had it delivered, like the whole thing. Why do we need all this stuff? There are snow blowers and pressure washers.
Because you never know. That's the whole thing. You never know. Exactly.
Got on the right tools. When does Steve cut the grass?
He does not.
I'm saying. Exactly. Yes.
He does not. There are weed whackers. There are blowers. Not just a regular blower. The full-on back.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
This, like, if he would point it at you, he would put you down. There are tools, gardening supplies, so much. There are outside heaters, in addition to the fireplace and fire pit that we have in the backyard. Outside heaters, the cushions do not get stored in the shed. We actually store them in the garage, where there is one of those racks, you know, that come from the ceiling, blah, blah, blah.
What did Scar say? Be prepared. I mean,
right?
Took it to heart, yeah, man.
Clearly.
That's what he did.
Yes. I know the whole thing. So anyways, yes. I don't know how the shed has gotten to be so small, our second and a half or whatever year into the house, but here we are at this point. I said, we're not doing anything else. Like, this is what we have. Things either have to go or choices need to be made. Something needs to happen.
That's what we'll spring. See. Well, I mean, we're in the spring cleaning set, you know, time
yes,
of the year. You gotta,
yes, exactly.
Got to do the spring cleaning.
And that always feels like that, doesn't it? When you're doing spring cleaning, you're like, how do I simultaneously have all this stuff and want to get rid of all this stuff?
I don't like getting rid of things. Like I ordered this cool, like, Mizzou shirt because Instagram gets me all the time, right? The Instagram ads. I need to get off Instagram because in what it is, it's that shirt that all the basketball teams are wearing. Like, it has your team name and it says energy. So like, you'll see them this weekend on the benches. Like, it's Mizzou didn't even qualify for the tournament. They won 0 SEC games, but they made the shirt because if they wore it in the SEC tournament to lose their one game and get bounced. It says Mizzou energy, but I like the shirt because I'm a Mizzou fan. So I bought it. And so came in the mail, but of course Pam saw the package before I could intercept it, before she saw it coming in. She's like, one shirt in, one shirt out. That's the rule for our closet. I'm like, but I don't want to give up a shirt. Like, I don't want to do
it
out. So I just put it in. I didn't take a shirt, but that's how it should be in the shed. But let's get to the Disney stuff. That's why we're
here. Immediately, I'm like, sister, I know the thing.
The one in, one out rule, though. But I was trying to sneak it in, but Pam caught me, dude. She's like, what's this? Is this a shirt?
And Steve, where's the top like few that get washed all the time?
That's
like,
how I am. I'm
like, what about
things.
This guy here in the back? We never get to see him.
Same, nope. But I can't give it up. I might wear it. I mean, you know, and I.
You need to make a quilt.
That's what Pam says, but I, because you know how many Run Disney shirts I have? I run Dopey every year. Do they give me.
Texting Pam immediately.
Stop. She's like, because she made one of those shirts, one of those like blankets for Paige out of all of her soccer uniforms. I'm like, but I don't want my shirts cut up. Like, she's like, you never wear like your 5K shirt.
But then you have something that you can like use
I know,
a good memory.
But it's chopped up. Like it hurts the shirts. I don't want
it
my shirts
exists.
Hurt. I know. I don't know. But then it cuts the sleeves. I might wear them. I don't know. Anyway, let's get to today's topic because you're hurting my feeling. Like I'm stressing right now. I'm getting hives. You're giving me hives. Okay. So here's the deal. Today, it's a suggestion from Catherine over on our Discord, brguestpodcast.com/discord, where we talk all the time about the shows in between. And you can tell us, shut up about the lawn service stuff in between shows. Just let us know. We love talking to you. But she wanted to talk about the mechanics of getting to the destination. So when you're going to Walt Disney World, it's changed a lot over the past 5-10 years. You know, she's going on a trip, but she hasn't gone for a while. You know, back on her last trip, she took Magical Express. Flying was a lot different, you know, 10 years ago. It was, it wasn't such a stressful deal. So I thought today we'd just take some packing tips because we've done this before, but, you know, Magical Express doesn't exist anymore. Ride shares are a lot different today. Mm-hmm. Tips, dynamics have changed. You know, Ricky has a kid now and, you know, I don't have little kids anymore. So let's talk about, you know, I'll be dead straight. I love the going to the airport. I do. I know some people hate that stuff, but I love like the whole flying, going to the airport. I even booked when I went to Disneyland. One time I booked a layover in Vegas just because I wanted to see the airport. Like I wanted to do the one-armed bandit for a couple hours and then just go on. Like, I mean, I'll be honest. Like I did that on purpose. So let's talk about, you know, getting there is half the fun. So Pam, okay, so let's talk about packing because you are the packing queen of all
she
of
is.
Us. I just throw junk in a suitcase. So give us some tips for packing.
I am. And I want to say too, Mike, that I feel you. Like up until the point in time where I leave, I'm usually stressed because there's last minute things to wrap up. There's things I need done for this trip that are happening, whatnot. As soon as I get to the airport, it's sort of like I breathe like a sigh of like, okay, we're here, whatever. And we travel so often that there are certain things that I always buy duplicates of. I always have two sets of them and I just keep packed all the time. I come home, I might refill something or whatever is needed for that particular thing, but I keep them packed in the suitcase and that's how I put it away. And that includes like things like toiletries. My toiletries are always packed. You never know when a last minute trip may come up and I don't want to have anything to keep me away from that. So like toiletries, even hair appliances, I keep a separate duplicate packed at all times. So then I know that I have like sort of the basics always packed at all times. So I think that's the first thing.
That's a huge tip too, because I do the same thing. I have my toiletries, they're all packed, ready to go for, you know, that moment's notice, like you said, of, hey, we need to go. The only thing that's not packed that I pack easily is like my makeup and stuff like that. I'll pack that in a separate bag just on its own. And then like my contacts and my glasses, because I wear them every day. But other than that, yeah, it's all in my underneath my sink and ready to go for when I'm ready. I also have, because obviously one of the things that I do is wear my Disney dresses while I'm down in Florida. So I have those kind of ready to go. Either they're in my suitcase for the next time, or I have a few here at home that I go and I'm like, okay, which ones do I want to grab and maybe wear while I'm down there? And then, of course, I get to have the luxury of having my brother's apartment where I also have more Disney dresses. So I think he's tired of me storing all of them there, but oh well, thanks buddy. So, you know, I've got like all of that is just in a spot in my closet ready to go. So if I do have a trip that I want to take, I can easily go, okay, here are the clothes that I want to wear for my trip and have those ready to go. You know, I have that also for, because it's not just dresses, you know, obviously in the winter, I'm not wearing a dress. So I'll have, you know, a section for, you know, maybe Disney shirts that I want to take with me as well. So I have like just, it's literally the section in my closet for Disney wear. And that's that way I'm ready to go when it's time. So yeah. And then I just throw it in the suitcase and go from there. But like Pam, I have a lot of my main toiletries and stuff like that already ready to go. And when I do need to restock, I'll stock up like ahead of time. So I finish a trip, I'll make sure that I have, okay, I'm running out of X, Y, and Z. I need to make sure I buy more of that. And then I'll stick it back in my toiletry bag so that when I do have a trip coming up, I don't have that panic of, oh no, I don't have any conditioner and I'm on my trip now. So what can I use?
Yeah, my toiletries bag's always stocked. I got a 31 little toiletries bag from a student a long time ago. Her mom sold 31 stuff and it says Mr. Rallman on it. So
nice.
That was pretty clutch gift like 10 years ago, which I still use. But the only thing I throw in there is my contacts because I do wear those every morning when I run. So I do toss that in there. But I have like the contact solution little bottle in there to go. Everything's rocking there. I will say a tip for my backpack, my carry-on that always has my laptop and my iPad and stuff like my electronics bag, my entertainment bag, my carry-on bag. One thing. I always, again, we talked about this last week about how I always have, like, I'm in charge of all the electronics. So I have so many wires and chargers and stuff in that bag.
Me too.
And I always get drilled, like, get pulled over by the TSA. So here's the thing. Pam got me this awesome organizer where I can, like, neatly wrap all my wires, like, so they look really neat. And then what I can do now, instead of having all these wires loose in the bag and backpack, is I can pull this out and put this in the tray, like next to my iPad in the bin when it goes through the thing. So it's not in my backpack anymore. And I now no longer have to go through the whole song and dance with the TSA. It's just there. That's separately. Nice. And it, you know, all my wires are separate. So that is you can buy those for like 10 bucks on Amazon. It's a little organizer for all your wires and your chargers and all that stuff. It's so much nicer now. And plus, when you get to your destination, I can now, it's almost looks like back in the day, like you unzip it, like what you used to put your CDs in, you know, like those old CD organizers. And so you just, it's got a couple of like zippers. And so you just, oh, I need a USB-C to USB-C, or oh, I need a USB-C to Lightning. You know, I have them all kind of organized. There's a couple of pockets in there for like your charging cubes, you know, whatever you need, dongles. And you just go through there. It makes, I don't know, it like makes me happy to have organization. So I'm like, oh, you need this? Right there, throw that out. Okay, you need this? You know, and you put your like Magic Band chargers in the pockets. Because I'm telling you what, man, especially at Orlando, at MCO, dude, they get you every time. Like, and I get it because I see the thing on the screen. I'm like, dude, I would pull me too. Like, I mean,
that looks like a bunch of wires, dude, coming out of a thing.
Oh my God. My backpack looks, I mean, like, cause I love the movie Airplane and Airplane 2. I'm like, that totally looks like a bomb going through there. I mean, there's just wires going 105,000 ways. If they did not pull me over, I'd be a nervous flyer. So I get it. So that organizer is something I would totally buy. If you don't fly often, put all your wires neatly in this and just pull that out of your backpack. Let it go through next to your iPad and your laptop, just so it's separate and they can scan that. So Pam, do you do anything like that as far as making it easier, like to go through TSA? Because I know a lot of people get nervous about TSA.
We do. And so we have pre-check, so that doesn't typically happen to us, but I have an organizer. It is a roll where we put all of the cords. Actually, we typically just keep them in there. Because then I don't have to worry about grabbing stuff at the last minute or whatnot. We know that we always have them. The USB or USC, whatever they are, you know, that block with the multi things there is the thing that I've mentioned that we take and use all the time because it's like a USB station so that you can do all of that. And then I don't have to worry about whether I'm on a cruise where you're not allowed to bring a strip or wherever I am, that's going to be there. And it has, you know, let's say 10 different slots where we can put things. So we use that all the time. And we are very neat packers. I've mentioned that I use packing cubes, and I use packing cubes in small bags to keep like things together all the time. And that just helps keep everything organized. It makes your bag organized. And then if you have to find something at the last minute, you can do it, because there's nothing worse than like fumbling for something or freaking yourself out. Do I have this? Do I not? Because you need to know if you don't have that. If you forgot something, you need to, you know, you don't want to buy extras unless you have to, because they're going to be expensive when you're traveling. So all of that stuff. Yeah, we definitely do. Packing cubes. I know I've talked a lot about these, but you can find them on Amazon. They aren't that expensive. Each member of my family has their own color that we pack into. We have a family color for things like all of our swimsuits or whatnot.
Oh, that's smart.
Because then all of that is together. And I think one of the keys to packing, no matter whether you're driving or flying or whatnot, no matter where you're going, is first of all, check the weather before you go. But pack in layers. There are a few things I have learned, especially when traveling to Florida. There have been times where it's looked completely sunny, and I haven't brought an umbrella or a rain jacket or something, which I regretted. There are times when I thought the weather was going to be warm and I didn't have any cold weather stuff. And there are times when I thought the weather was going to be cold and I didn't have enough warm weather stuff. You can't predict. And if you have layers, then you're always going to be happy.
Always overpacked too.
Yeah, I make sure I have, the big thing is the rain gear, obviously. Again, I always have that packed and ready to go. So, and it lives in my park bag, actually, to be honest. So I make sure that I have, cause I hate ponchos. But I do have a rain jacket that I bought at Disney. So I'll wear that. And then I also make sure that I have an umbrella, because again, you can use that umbrella whether it's raining or when it's super sunny and you're just walking around. Yes, I am one of those people that you'll see carrying an umbrella in the heat of the day because I'm blocking the sun. So that's a huge thing as well. Actually, when we went to Universal a couple weeks ago and we were standing outside, Brian legit busted out the umbrella because we were standing there with Lucy, and he's like, I just want to make sure she's okay.
That's good for a baby. Yeah, totally good for a baby.
Yeah, exactly. So we did that. And that's huge. And like you said, Pam, you never know. Like, the rain is usually the thing that just surprises you, because even when I was there and we were in Epcot and it looked like the weather was going to be fine, and then all of a sudden just Florida, and it just started downpouring, and didn't have the umbrella because I was like, oh, we're only in Epcot for a couple hours. Yeah. Big mistake. So you never, absolutely never know when you're going to need the rain gear or, like you said, the cold gear or whatever. It just can surprise you sometimes. So you definitely want to make sure you're watching the weather, and even not watching the weather and just have it anyway.
Okay. So a couple of things too. One thing that I've learned, cheap mic here, right? I always fly Southwest, 2 free bags, also no change fees, so I can play around with my flights. I used to always, you know, you get your free drink. Like your free Coke Zero on your flight down and your bag of peanuts or whatever, your little Chex Mix or whatever. So I like that. And so, but here's the thing. I will fight to stay awake, like on a 6 o'clock in the morning flight, just so I can make sure I don't miss my soda, right? In my little bag of snack. But what I've learned is, because I'll take the super early flight, like the 5:30 flight, like a lot of times to get down there early, I just bite the bullet nowadays, and I'll buy a bottle of soda at the airport for $4 and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to fall asleep, because I'd rather sleep for the 2 hours on the plane on the way down and have my soda right there when I want it. And if I miss it, I miss it. And they always will still toss you the snack. Like even if you're sleeping, like they'll leave you the snack. And if you ask for it, they'll give it to you. But it's not worth it. This is just Mike in the Midwest here. Like they will, it's not worth it for that little shot of Coke Zero to miss a 2 hour nap. That's the economics of Mike flying right there. Yeah, I mean, do you guys take anything onto the plane? Do you guys get Starbucks at your airport to take on the plane?
Yeah.
What do you do?
No, not if I'm flying in the morning. I don't.
Really?
No, I get on the plane and I go to sleep. And then I get it when I get off the plane. There are a few things that I always take on a plane. One of them is I always buy a drink. I always buy a water when we get through, a huge water, and have it there. I always take my some kind of Contigo or whatever flask I'm going to be using, and I put ice in it before we go through security, even because you can put
ice is acceptable as long as it's solid. Yep.
Yes, exactly. So I do that. I always take a blanket because one time, a long time ago, I was freezing and I was just like, I am never not going to have a blanket again. Mm-hmm. So I always took that. If I'm flying in the morning or late at night, I always have an eye mask just because sometimes you're sitting across someone who like keeps their window open the whole time and like the sun is hitting you in the eye
That's me. I got to look at the window the whole time. You're like, Mike, just close that window.
I know, right? So in the morning, I expect everyone to have their windows down. I'm just saying this.
I'm getting the perfect sunrise shot.
I always take headphones because you can't always count on everyone for doing the right thing. And I swear that is one of the few times I lose my religion. Like, I feel like physical hatred towards people who do not put the headphones on when they're watching something or playing something or whatnot. That's just rude. Don't do it. So I don't want to tempt myself. I take my own. I know, right? You don't hear me like this very often, but I swear there have been times where I could be like, are you kidding me with this right now? Especially if it's some kid playing a game behind you and you hear it like over and over again. Oh, yeah, yoy. So anyways, I bring my headphones so that I don't have to hear that.
Yeah, we don't want to see you on social media flying.
No, we don't want to.
This talk alone is enough to be like, someone's going to write like, Pam Forrester from the Be Our Guest podcast admits to whatever. So anyways.
Oh my gosh.
I always bring snacks. Even if it's a flight where I think I'm not going to be hungry because your flight might get delayed.
True.
You may be sitting on the runway for an extended period of time, and you know, some peanut M&Ms keep everyone happy.
This is true.
So I bring those. And I also download more movies or podcasts than I ever think I will need. And 98% of the time I watch none of them because I'm watching what the plane has available for me, what Southwest has or whatnot. But there are those times when the Wi-Fi is not working and you're like, oh my gosh, I was counting on the Wi-Fi working and now the movies won't play and it's a mess. And so anyways, so I always make sure that I have all the things that I might need to keep myself happy. So.
That's good. Yeah. The headphones are a big one. I have a blanket with me. I have a little pillow that I bought. It's not a neck pillow. It's an actual pillow. And it was it was on clearance at Target one time. And it's a outdoor patio couch pillow, like a little one. And so I have those so I can like sleep on the plane. I always bring a magazine because like you said, Pam, it inevitably the one time when I don't have a magazine or something is the time when the Wi-Fi is out. So, you know, I always make sure I have some sort of magazine or book to read. And I make sure I have music downloaded onto my phone as well. So that way I can at least listen to something if something happens like that. But I should bring snacks. I don't, and I should bring water and I don't, and I feel like I'm terrible at that. And I should be better, especially now with Lucy. I should definitely be better and I probably will be. But you know, we haven't traveled.
We'll only take one time.
Exactly. Yes, we haven't traveled much with her yet. You know, on a plane, only the one time. So we'll get there. And at that time, all I needed was formula. So we're good. Now that she's eating actual food now, I'm probably going to need to make sure I have snacks.
Remember, it's not about you. It's about the other 196 passengers on the plane.
Exactly.
They will appreciate you. Yes, and trust me. Lisa's got a great question because this is very pertinent for Disney fans.
Yes.
How do you pack your ears? Because I've had this question come up for me because when you run marathon, you get a pair of ears as you complete the marathon every year. And these are ears that you have earned. You have gotten blisters. You've been in pain for 26.2 miles. And I have them all right here behind me in the studio, and I want to keep them in pristine condition. I do not pack my ears. I'm a dork and I wear them on the plane home.
Of course you do.
I do, because I am not letting them get crushed. But I have actually, somebody told me that you can actually fold them up neatly. And like, if you lay something on top of them in your suitcase, like in your, you know, your bag, like they will be fine. I've experimented
like
with that.
Like the ear hat?
Like your ears. Like your
Like the hat.
Like the beanies. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
You can. They're all shipped that way. So they're all shipped sort of folded in on the ear hats are all shipped with them folded in on each other. So you can push that back into the front and then just put it in between some clothes and they should be fine.
Yes.
Or you can always put them on your carry-on too.
That's true.
Headbands are easy to pack. Even if it's something that's really elaborate, I remember Hannah had some elaborate ones for the holidays one year that had a whole bunch of like things on the top of it that were sort of breakable and smushable. And we just sort of bubble wrapped. We took a little bit of bubble wrap and put them in and they traveled well too.
That's a good idea. I'm the worst about packing my ears. So I literally just throw them in my suitcase and I'm like, they go on top. And I said, that's it. They're good to go. I'm the worst. And my storage of them is also just garbage. I literally have, again, I keep my ears at my brother's apartment. I have plastic bags, like Disney shopping bags. And I literally just shove my ears in the shopping bag. And then when I go to the parks, I'm like, these ears will do. And I put them on my head. So like, they're not even, you know, how some people have them neatly, you know, lined up in rows and stuff like that. No, mine are literally in Disney shopping bags.
Whatever it takes.
I'm the worst. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about arriving down into MCO or, you know, arriving out to to Disneyland. I mean, it's kind of the same either destination. Now, of course, Disneyland, you have many multiple options for airports. You got SNA, you got LAX, you got the Long Beach. You got all kinds. I mean, you probably got five different airports you can fly into legitimately. I mean, Scott flies into San Diego and comes up. I mean, that's a lot longer trip, and he spends a day down in San Diego. But you get there, and you got to decide how you're going to get to your hotel. Now, back in the day in Walt Disney World, you had Magical Express. This was kind of all predetermined, right? You would give your flight information to Disney. Your bags would be squared away at your home airport. You know, we all know how that worked. That's not the case anymore. But you have things like you have third-party vendors that will make this similar, like Mears Connect. You could go to MearsConnect.com. You got to pay extra for this, but you can schedule that. And they have different tiers depending on how quickly you want to get to your resort. You know, there's basically like a premium tier that will take you there a little quicker. There's kind of a basic fare that'll get you to stop at a few different resorts, get you there just fine. But also you have private transfers that'll get you there, you know, in a limo or a town car. You could do that if you want to kick it off well. You could rent a car. You could also use things like Uber or Lyft, you know, ride shares. It just really right now you have lots of options to get there. You just got to think about what's going to be best for your family. Do you need car seats? You just got to think about what's best for you. Now, Pam, I know you're a rental car family, right? You guys rent a car at the airport?
Yeah, most of the time we do. And it's just, again, another thing that really keeps Steve happy. And the fact that I would not call us your typical Walt Disney World visitor, because we tend to bounce around to a lot of places. We may have a resort change. Well, 9 times out of 10, we have a resort change, at least one during our time. Another thing that we do is we tend to eat at restaurants at other resorts. Mm. And that is not impossible using Disney transportation. It just makes it a little easier when you have a rental car. So our family was very happy when they took away the parking fees, I will say, at Walt Disney World, because, you know, we're someone who would be charged every time for something like that. So that's we almost always rent a car. And even when we don't, if we don't happen to have a car, we usually use Uber or Lyft to do that. Now, we also have a number of transportation options that I think the private transportation options that I think are a good resource for a lot of people, especially if you're not going to need the car during your stay. And I think that that's something to consider. It takes some of the frustration piece out of it for people who really just don't want to wait. And I think that's legitimate. As soon as you walk off the plane, think to yourself, how quickly am I going to want to be at my resort? If the answer is really quickly because we're excited, then it might be worth to consider some kind of private transportation for you.
So real quick, because I don't rent cars, I'm an Uber Lyft guy, and I'll give my experience. I have a couple tips with that. But real quick, do you have any tips for renting cars at MCO or Disneyland? Have you learned anything that would help our audience?
So we choose National almost exclusively, and I know other car rental locations do this too, but National has the Emerald Isle or the Executive Isle where you can walk right out in most places and just walk into a car. There's a choice of cars that are out there that you can choose from and walk in. I will never, when you walk through the airport, if you see people lined up at the car rental desk, that will never be a rental car company that I ever rent from. I am not getting off the plane and standing in line to check the reservation for my car. So I think that you're safe with National, and I believe Alamo does that as well. And I think maybe Enterprise as well. All those other locations that I see in the airport, I'm never, ever using them. Just mm-mm. Never, not going to do it. It still blows my mind. Like when I see the lines for some of them, I'm like, these people are going to be here at least an hour.
Absolutely. Or
and
more.
I'm just like, ay, ay, ay. So
and what
I can't
a terrible way to start your vacation.
That's what I think too. That would be, it would really frustrate me to no end. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're part of the check, there are certain rental car loyalty programs, and it's worth being a member of them. And also that it doesn't cost anything. Plus,
right.
I think building up some loyalty with one, if you're going to travel often, is always a good thing. You might as well get rewarded for it eventually mm-hmm. through some way. It may not be a huge loyalty incentive, but having some kind of loyalty to someone, I think, is worth it.
So I'll be honest, you know, I travel solo a lot of times for races and for, you know, things we go down for occasionally. And, you know, I go with my family too. And since Magical Express has gone away, I've used Uber and Lyft and 100% success, you know, no problems at all. And I use it once I get the property, I use it to get around, and it's totally fine as long as you're comfortable with that. The rates typically again, it's going to depend on season. It's going to depend on demand. That's how Uber and Lyft work. It's based on demand, but I typically pay about $40 to $45 to get from MCO to property with Uber or Lyft. So it's not bad. And then you tip on top of that. And you get there, I can grab my bags right there at the carousels, walk right outside, boom, and there's a car waiting for me within 5 minutes. And you jump in the car, and you're over to your hotel in 20, 25 minutes. It's super quick. I mean, it's efficient.
The only thing is it doesn't work well for families with, like, infants like mine. Like, it's just not... It's not a really great option for that.
Well, you can request one with car seats. I mean, you
can
totally.
You can, but if you need more than one, you can't, and you can't always trust the quality of the car seats. So that's, I think, the thing that is more challenging for families. And the other thing that we found is when we use Uber or Lyft, we always use whatever the higher tier is. You get a better quality of vehicle most of the time. Yeah, we do. And just, it's always worth it for us in that space. So
see, I don't, I've never had a problem, but again, I'm by myself, so I don't care.
Like, you are. So that's like you do.
And the caveat is if you are traveling with a smaller child, and you know, we've done the rental car before, and yes, you can rent a car seat from them. I agree with Pam. You don't always know the safety requirements that are behind that, but at least I feel, at least with a rental car, a little bit better, you know, with a car seat from them. I'm hoping that they're checking something of safety in that regard. But with a Uber or a Lyft, you have no idea. So I would feel a little better with a rental car company in that regard, just for that reason. And I've done it before. So that's the only little caveat I'll say with that.
I will say too, with, I think it was Uber one time and Lyft one time, when I was both times out of Disneyland, that I was getting a nonstop flight home to St. Louis, and I had a 6 a.m. flight out of LAX, which meant I still use the Magical Express formula, right? Because especially out in LA, I'm always worried about the traffic getting to the airport. And I know it's not going to be as bad super early in the morning, but I'm the guy that's always there, like, I'm that meme, right? That the guy that's there, like, super early. So I I was like, okay, man, you know, I'm so worried that somebody's going to pick my order up at like 3 a.m. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to be around? So there is an option on the app to like pre-schedule your Uber and your Lyft ride. And I was like, I wonder if that works. It worked beautifully both times on both trips out in L.A. And both times, you know, like at 3 a.m., one time at the Disneyland Hotel, this past time out at the Grand Legacy, which is a good neighbor hotel right outside Disneyland. I mean, my ride is just waiting right there. I mean, right at the pre-assigned time, like, just let's go, you know. So if you ever need to use that, I've had 100% success rate to pre-schedule your ride, because I know a lot of times we're scheduling for weird times to be picked up, you know, super early in the morning. And so, you know, again, your mileage may vary, but I've had 100% success, and it works great to catch those early morning flights.
That's great.
So any other tips for getting from your hotel to the airport and back and stuff like that?
And then I think just like you said, at Disneyland, you're going to need to anticipate travel time, because traffic is beyond belief if you're not used to it out there. It just still, it boggles my mind every time I go out there. I'm like, can you imagine driving like 15 miles and having it take like an hour and a half? I mean, right? You know what I mean? I don't know. These folks deal with it in a way I never could.
Same. I will say a lot of times, especially in like the peak travel time of the day, you probably want to make sure you get to the Orlando airport early as well. I've seen too many horror stories of people saying, oh, I got to the airport and the line for TSA is like ridiculous. And it happens way more often than it should for an airport, I feel like, of that, you know, size, and also like, you know, how many people go through that airport. It's just, it floors me that their TSA is not that great. So you definitely want to make sure that you get to the airport, I mean, at least 2 hours. And I've had times when I've been there at the 2 hour mark and still worried that I was going to make my flight because I was in TSA. So, you know, 2 to 2.5 hours at minimum, I would say, for the Orlando airport, just because you never know how bad it's going to be backed up.
But you should use,
unless you have TSA pre-check.
Not even that. You can reserve a reservation.
Ooh,
too.
They do that, don't they? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that part's nice.
So then I think the Orlando airport just has so many people through it on a day that it's hard to anticipate. There's not a downtime like there maybe are at many people's home, but you can make a reservation at MCO if you don't have clear or pre-check.
That's a great tip, because I did not know that you could do that. That's fantastic.
You can.
And I will say, I mean, here's the thing. Again, this is just me, but Magical Express had the 3 hour rule, right? That they would pick you up 3 hours before your flight. And they had that rule for a reason. It was to be conservative, to make sure nobody missed their flight. They didn't want anybody to miss their flight. They were anticipating there could be some traffic challenges between Walt Disney World and the airport. They were also anticipating there could be backups with TSA getting you through. They were making sure that everybody, for the most part, made their flight with that 3 hour buffer. Now, does everybody want to maximize their last day at Walt Disney World and get in that last ride or go get that last? Absolutely. And may you spend an extra 30 minutes that you consider wasted time hanging out at the airport? Probably. Absolutely. But the thing is, I like to say, is that it's just not worth the stress, because if you know, like, I just don't want to have that anxiety of that I'm pushing. Some people like that. Some people live on the edge like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I used to be that person. But again, I don't want to be, I'd rather be there, just be through TSA and just chill at the gate, you know, and just get a Coke Zero and grab a snack and just mess with my phone or something.
And as well, the line isn't like ridiculously long. There is the Disney store that's right there at the mall. You can go. I mean, I've definitely gone in that shop and just, you know, wasted time, looked for more souvenirs that I did or didn't need, you know, whatever. So there is definitely a couple of Disney stores at the actual, you know, airport that you can always, you know, waste some time in, which you still get the Disney, you're still in the Disney bubble in that regard, in the sense of like, you get to be in a Disney shop still. So
that's good news. I mean, because at the airports, like if you're going to a Disney destination, you know, if you're at LAX or, I mean, even Long Beach, like it's a small little airport, but I mean, there's a couple good restaurants, you know, places to eat, mm-hmm. you know, you can entertain yourself for the extra hour, mm-hmm. you know what Absolutely. I'm saying? Like, I mean, there's something for to sure. do. You're not like sitting there with, and I mean, it's 2024, people. You got the world at your hand.
Well, that's it. Yes. And I think the last thing I want to be when I'm traveling is feeling rushed or unprepared.
You want to get the stress out of it.
Stress. Yeah, 100%. And so that's how I sort of like all these things sort of stack up to put me in a position where I don't have to feel either of those things.
Yep.
At any time. I can only control what I can control. And so I make a point
to control as much as I can control.
What I can control. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the way I think you take away the stress.
Yes, agreed.
All right. Well, that's going to be our show for today. And here's the good thing. Again, come over. Again, thanks to Catherine over on our Discord for the idea for today's show. We're going to consider the continue the tips over there right on the Discord channel. So come on over to brguestpodcast.com/Discord and give your travel tips, because I know we've just kind of hit the iceberg on these, and you can kind of give your, because everybody's got their ways they travel, and you know, it'll help all of us. It's for the good of the cause here. So come on over, and we'll continue this on Sunday night's live call-in show as well, because I'm always looking for ways to travel better for not just my Disney trips, but just traveling in general. So come on over and join us there. Don't forget, our show is brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure. Remember, 2025 Disney cruises are now available to everybody. Everybody can book those. So come on over, be our guest, or sorry, themagicforless.com. Check out all the itineraries. There's some new ones. There's some great ones. The Magic is sailing out of Port Canaveral, where it's doing double dip cruises, but not just two times to Castaway Key. It's going to Castaway Key amazing. And Lighthouse Point and a sea day with a 5-night itinerary. That one's a pretty sweet itinerary.
Yeah. Next,
summer 2025.
I don't have to go to NASA and I get 2 Disney Island destinations and a sea day. Hey, or wait, do you go to NASA?
It does go to NASA, but you get a sea day too.
It. Okay. Well, never mind. If they had that cruise, I would be on that in a heartbeat.
You're not going to be on the Bahamas tourism board, but you just
wasn't
that
planning
one.
On it.
You just rookied that one, but okay, go ahead. Anyway,
yeah, it's all right.
We're standing by to help you. And that sounds okay. So we're going to help you plan that next Disney cruise. I should have just muted Ricky's mic. But anyway, we're going to keep rolling with this. But it's awesome. What'd Meatloaf say? 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We're going to go with that. So
the
address, awesome. NASA definitely has this place. I've just been
it
there.
Does. It does. Yes. It does. It does. Ships registry, Bahamas. Okay, so we are gonna go. I feel like I'm on a love boat or something. Anyway, we are gonna go. I don't even know where I was, but themagicforless.com. We'll get you a great onboard credit, and it costs exactly the same as booking with Disney Cruise Line, and it supports the show. So it's a great way to support all kinds of things over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys make all these shows possible. You can support us as well. Just $5 a month. That's all it is. And it really does help us out. And you get our bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest, where we just talk about fun topics. It's an additional podcast for you. So check it out. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on social media. Be Our Guest Mike is where I'm at. Ricky Nibs is where Ricky is. TMFLT Pam is where Pam is. Scott is headed down to Walt Disney World today. He's at Epcot, so check him out as well. And Sunday night, give us a call on the BOGP open line, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. I'll be standing by for your call. All right, you guys have a great weekend. We're going to have some fun. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sure it'll be fun. So until we get back together again on Sunday night, you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.